वृंदावन धाम की जय। नवदीप सी माय पोताम की जय। गंग मई चमुन मई की जय। भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की जय। श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। जय निताय गो प्रेमनंदी श्याम भेद भक्त वृंद की जय। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glory to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Glories to Sri Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Padaya Smadhaya Shantyam. Gauravani Pacharine Nevesi Shashunyavari Pashadadeshitane. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत करता शिवा श्री गौर भक्त बृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरि 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 राम 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 सप्त कंचन गौरंगी राधि बृंदावनेश्वरे विशापानु श्रुति देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय हरे कृष्ण। सो टुडे वी आर सेलिब्रेटिंग द appearance day of Srimati Radharani, Sri Radhashtami. Also happens to be the appearance day of Sri Bishakha Devi. She was born exactly same time as Sri Radha. So, Krishna says, by the Vedas I am to be known, I am to be sought out through the Vedas. He is the ultimate God. Vishnu is to be understood through the Vedas. Krishna, but it's very difficult to understand Krishna, but you have to understand Krishna through his potency. If you understand his potency, then you understand Krishna more. According to Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Chaitanya Charita. So we'll talk a little bit about the Haladini potency, which is a manifestation of Sri Radha. It's difficult to describe, right? Srimati Radharani is very difficult and mysterious because she's the loving potency. The Prabhupada said, Radha Krishna means the exchange of love. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says, when you try to discuss love, immediately disappears because it's something beyond discussion or analysis. Love means bhakti. It's on a spontaneous platform. So when you analyze it, it's not there. It disappears. Come to the realm of Shankara or something like that. So it's a very difficult subject matter because what you're dealing with, it disappears. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says, upon being analyzed, it immediately disappears. And even not being analyzed, also it disappears quickly. The moment we approach it, it's gone. But anyway, we're trying to understand a little bit, at least, of the tattva. Anyway, it becomes revealed when you go back to home, back to Godhead. So this is, I'm reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, chapter 4, Confidential Reasons of Lord's Appearance. This is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, of course. Radha Krishna Ekatma Dvi Deho Dori Anyoni Vilasharasha Ashwadana Kori. Radha and Krishna are one and the same, but they have assumed two bodies, and thus they enjoy each other, tasting the mellows of love. One and the same, this is the inconceivable nature and the inconceivable. The philosophy of inconceivable simultaneous one and difference that Lord Chaitanya propounded is the best philosophy. It may sound like a cop-out though, because if you say no, it's inconceivable, then if we say the philosophy is inconceivable, then everyone would say, well, what's the use of following it? But we have to accept this inconceivable fact of the Lord. Jiva Goswami starts his sandhavas. We're going to search for the truth, search for Krishna. So how do you start? He says, first you start with the understanding that we're seeking God, we're seeking Krishna, but he is inconceivable. We're seeking something that's inconceivable, but you have to start with that. You have to accept the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Otherwise, how is he God? If everything is conceivable, then what's so special about God? We can conceive of so many things about ourselves, but if God is on the same platform you can see, then what is so special about him? So he is always inconceivable. So he is one and the same, but they have assumed two bodies and they enjoy that relationship. The example giving is that you have a ghee wick. You have two threads. You make the ghee wick, right? And then you make one thread with it and you light it. So it's one flame, but it's coming from two wicks. So like this, Radha and Krishna are one. They're separate, but then they become one. Like two wicks become one flame. Actually, they have one soul. Okay. Now to enjoy rasa, they have appeared in one body as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First I shall delineate the position of Radha and Krishna. From that description, the glory of Lord Chaitanya will be known. Srimati Radharani is the transformation of Krishna's love. She is his internal energy called Haladini, potency. This Haladini energy gives Krishna pleasure and nourishes his devotees. Some purport. Srila Jiva Goswami has elaborately discussed the Haladini potency in his Priti Shandarbha. He says that the Vedas clearly state only devotional service can lead one to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only devotional service can help a devotee meet the Supreme Lord face to face. The Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, is attracted only by devotional service. And as such, the ultimate supremacy of the Vedic knowledge rests in knowing the science of devotional service. What does Krishna say in 1855? Bhaktyamam abhijananti, is it? I can only be known by bhakti, loving devotional service. Bhakti tu anyayaya shakha. Only by undivided devotional service am I to be understood. When we're talking of love, bhakti, it means two. It's an exchange of love. So this is what's happening. We're talking about an exchange of love. Whereas the propositive impersonalists, they're trying to enjoy the conception of bliss of Brahman as one. But devotional service is a reciprocation between two. It cannot therefore be located simply within one's own self. Therefore the bliss of self-realization of Brahman Ananda cannot be equal to devotional service. So for the impersonalists, they're saying everything is one. It's only one. But we say how it can only be one, because if we're talking about love, then it takes two. I love you, you love me. There's no question of love with one. But they're saying that bliss of the self, which is all one, there is nothing beyond this. This is their conception. There's nothing beyond this. So what they're dealing with is the bliss of the soul, up Niratmarama, the bliss of the soul. How big is the size of the soul? 1/10,000 size of the tip of a hair. So that's the bliss they're enjoying. 1/10,000 size of the tip of a hair, bliss. That's what they say. There's nothing beyond that. But for the devotees, no. We're engaged in Krishna service. We enjoy equally with Krishna. He's unlimited. We're not just 1/10,000 size of the tip of a hair, but we enjoy equal to Krishna. You're engaged in a loving relationship. You don't make a distinction who's enjoying more, the male or the female. So the devotees, they enjoy equally with Krishna because they're having a loving relationship with him. And the jnanis, they want to enjoy 1/10,000 size of tip of a hair's bliss. But even that's so powerful, that's so attractive, they're willing to give up their own life. They're willing to commit suicide, because actually Mayavada is a suicidal path. We want to annihilate our own identity. It's pretty, if you come to that point that you want to annihilate your own identity, as the Mayavadis do, that means you have a lot of faith in that. It means you have a lot of who can do that? But they can do it. Why? Because Krishna is so attracted that even as Brahman, impersonal Brahman, he's so attracted, they're willing to give up their own identity, they're willing to sacrifice their lives for it. So what to speak of a person who enters into a relationship with Krishna with unlimited loving varieties of pastimes? It's all very much inconceivable for the impersonalist philosophies. But the devotees, they get that facility. Krishna gives them his Aladini potency so they can enjoy it thousands of times or enjoy equally with Krishna. Then there's no comparison. So this pleasure potency is essential. It's the main thing in spiritual life. But it has to be given. It has to be given by Krishna. It's not. So here in the same purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna has three kinds of internal potency, namely Haladini, or pleasure potency, the Sandini, Shakti, or existential potency, and the Sambit, or cognitive potency. In the Vishnu Purana, it's described, the Lord is addressed as follows: O Lord, you are the support of everything. The three attributes, Haladini, Sandini, and Sambit, exist in you as one spiritual energy. So this is Krishna's internal potency. We say Satchit Ananda Vigraha, right? Satchit Ananda, same thing. Sandini, Sambit, and Haladini. Existential potency, Sat, Sandini, the existence of everything. Just like Nityananda, he expands as the existence of the Dharma. Everything that is existing is an expansion of the existential potency. And then the Sambit is a cognizant potency. You become awareness, you become cognitive of, ultimately, of Krishna yourself and your relationship with Krishna. This is ultimately what the cognitive potency is for, is to realize, understand yourself and Krishna and your relationship with Krishna. And when that's put into practice, then you get the result is the Haladini, or the loving exchange from Krishna, Haladini potency. So what it's all about is the loving relationship with Krishna. That's what he wants. God is one, this is Vedic aphorism, God is one and he becomes many. The next question, why does he become many? And the answer is, for his pleasure. So this is God's business, his pleasure. Living entity, because we are part and parcel of Krishna, also we have that pleasure-seeking tendency is there. We are all seeking pleasure. So, now Krishna certainly cannot get pleasure in the material world. He gets get pleasure wherever he is, but he doesn't. Why he would bother to try to get pleasure in the material world when he's got an unlimited spiritual world? So therefore, the living entities, he is one, he becomes many, means we're everyone, we are the many, we're expansions of Krishna. So what is the purpose? Pleasure, for Krishna's pleasure. In other words, our existence is to expand Krishna's pleasure. That should be our existence. In the spiritual world, everybody is in their proper, existing properly. They're properly situated in giving Krishna a loving exchange. So, pleasure is the purpose of life. When it gets reflected in the material world, we have the same conception. Pleasure is the purpose of life, right? That's what everybody wants, everybody's saying. But in the material world, it becomes, my pleasure is the purpose of life. In the spiritual world, it's Krishna's pleasure is the actual purpose of our existence. So when we situate self in Krishna consciousness, in reciprocating or bringing pleasure to the Lord, that is the perfect, constitutionally we are situated perfectly. So, to reciprocate with the Lord, the Lord only reciprocates with Halatini. He's only where there is bhakti, where there is love, the Krishna is there. That's where he's reciprocating. Outside of that, he's not interested. He's only interested in loving exchange. That's his business. So, and what is Krishna's greatest pleasure? He gets pleasure from relationships with all of his different devotees as servants, friendship, equal friendship, as parental, he has a parental relationship, and he has a conjugal relationship with the gopis. Krishna's favorite is the conjugal relationship. That's his favorite pastime. That's his favorite relationship. Above all the other relationships, this is Krishna's favorite. And Srimati Radharani embodies that highest principle of Haladini potency, or Krishna's pleasure potency in the in a conjugal relationship. So real devotees, devotee means someone who wants Krishna's pleasure. So a real devotee who wants Krishna's pleasure, he knows Krishna's greatest pleasure is Srimati Radharani. So the real devotee will try to assist in Radha and Krishna's pastime. He will assist in bringing Radha to Krishna or bringing Krishna to Radha. He will assist in that pastime because that's what gives Krishna the greatest pleasure. So ultimately you see when Prabhupada talks pure devotional service, and also he mentions pure unalloyed devotional service. When he's talking about the inhabitants of Vrindavan, generally he's talking about pure unalloyed devotees of the Lord. Because their only business is Krishna's satisfaction, the unalloyed devotees. It's Krishna's satisfaction they're interested in. In the other different places in Vaikuntha, they have that idea of enjoying with the Lord, being with the Lord, same planet, opulences and things like that. But the inhabitants of Vrindavan, their relationship with Krishna is to love him, just to because just he's so attractive, he is so beautiful. They love him for what he is. So it's unalloyed, called unalloyed devotional service. So this is what Srimati Radharani is embodying in the as the Haladini potency. Prabhupada says she's a very nice description in the beginning, maybe in the introduction. Anyways, right in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Is it nice description? Oh yeah, Srimati Radharani is the topmost mistress for the comforts of Sri Krishna. I thought that was a very nice description. Radharani is the topmost mistress for the comforts of Krishna's body or pleasure. Right? Nice description. Yeah, so she is, although there are Lakshmi, Sahasra, Shatasam, thousands and thousands, millions of gopis, Radharani, she is the fountainhead of all those different potencies. Therefore, although these different potencies, Sachit, Ananda, Vigraha, Sambit, Sandini, and Sandini, Sambit, and Haladini, Krishna's internal potency, but the essence of those is the Haladini potency as loving exchange, as being manifested by Srimati Radharani. So devotees, they want to serve Radha and Krishna. They want to bring Radha and Krishna together. They want to assist them in their loving exchanging pastimes. And by doing that, it's not that they don't feel happiness, also they get greatest bliss from doing that. So now, to please Krishna, we have to receive this mercy of Haladini potency. Whether you're in a relationship of Das, a servant of Krishna, or a friendship, Shakya or Vatsala, you need this bhakti, shakti, this Haladini potency. It's necessary. The loving exchange that Krishna has with his mother is based on this Haladini potency, because the Haladini potency is there. Krishna is attracted to in a parental relationship, because these friends have Haladini is there, then Krishna enjoys through the Haladini in the mood of Shakyaras, or Krishna enjoy in the mood of Dasaras. But whatever relationship he has, his connection is with the Haladini potency. Krishna is enjoying the Haladini potency, the essence of the relationship, the rasa. Krishna's rasa raj. He wants the essence of everything. But we also need that potency if we want to be attracted by Krishna, or attractive by Krishna. It's necessary to have that Haladini potency, which is Radharani's potency. Prabhupada says in his poem, when he wrote on board the Jaladuta, in the refrain, or the after every verse, he sung, "I say unto you emphatically, O brother, unless you receive the mercy of Srimati Radharani, until you receive the mercy of Srimati Radharani, then, or when you receive that, then your good fortune will be known." In other words, without receiving Srimati Radharani's mercy, your good fortune is not going to become. Our good fortune is when we know Krishna, we serve Krishna, we love Krishna. But it's not going to happen without the Haladini potency is not there. So Prabhupada's saying the refrain after every verse, "I say unto you emphatically," I cannot emphasize enough, that When you receive the mercy of Srimati Radha, then you're going to know your fortune. Then you'll really, everything will begin from that point, because Krishna becomes attracted at that point by the Ladinipa, and then the loving exchange can take place. This is what the living entities are looking for. Everybody wants to love and be loved. This is the purpose of life. So when we come to this point of loving Krishna, or Krishna becomes attracted to us by the influence of our Haladini potency, then that's our good fortune. Then we can actually enter into the relationship with Krishna. So it's very important that we understand our relationship with Srimati Radharani, because otherwise our relationship with Krishna is not going to work. So talking about the Haladini potency, when the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is exhibited by His grace in the person of a devotee, that manifestation is called love of God. Love of God is an epithet for the pleasure potency of the Lord. And therefore devotional service reciprocated between the Lord and His devotee is an exhibition of the transcendental pleasure potency of the Lord. Okay? When the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is exhibited by His grace on the person of a devotee, that manifestation is called love of Godhead. So that's going to happen when Krishna, or when the pleasure potency of Krishna becomes exhibited in his devotee, then the relationship can begin. It says here in a few purports. He says, when the samvit factor of cognition, sandini samvit, samvit means cognition, we have knowledge, we are cognizant. When the samvit factor of cognition is enlightened by the Haladini potency of the same internal energy, they work together, and only thus one can attain knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, I read it again. But when the samvit factor of cognition is enlightened by the Haladini potency of the same internal potency, they work together, and thus only one can attain knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's essential that we attain this Haladini potency. Then it's only when the Haladini potency manifests from Sri Krishna and is bestowed on the living being to attract him, does the living entity become a pure lover of God. Okay? Only when the Haladini potency emanates from Krishna and is bestowed upon the living being to attract him, does the living being become a pure lover of God. So here it's saying that this Haladini Shakti has got to come from Krishna, and that's going to attract him. So what's attracting Krishna is the Haladini potency. So in the Brahma Samhita, this is the Advaita Machuta Manade Manantarupam verse purport. Giving more information. He says that if how the jiva is limited in this material world, we're so limited by the shackles of material energy. And we're not in a position to shake off all these impositions, because we are very tiny, we're not strong enough. It's very forceful, our conditioned nature is very forceful. We're forced to do things. Due to our previous activities, it's forcing us to do a present activity. We have no say in the matter practically. Our whole, whatever we're doing now is simply a reaction from what we did before. So we're very much conditioned by our past. That's governing what we do right now. Our our mental condition now is is based on the previous impressions, maybe from last life, many lives ago, but it's all influenced now. It's right now, what choices we make right now, it's all being influenced. So it's very difficult to get rid of the this conditioned nature. So it's going on to say that if the potency of cognitive function does not extend to the realization of the transcendental, then what else can? We are cognizant, we have knowledge. If that cognizant cannot reach Krishna or the transcendental, then what else can? Our senses can't, our mind can't, our intelligence. So we have to, our cognitive function, that if that can't reach, then what else can? But the problem is, we are very, very tiny. We have our sambit chit potency is very tiny. We have limited knowledge, we understand. We don't have enough knowledge. So it's not powerful enough to reach Krishna. And also we have Haladini potency also. We're also Haladini. Satchitananda is Haladini. That's also not powerful enough to attract Krishna because of our minute size. So then how we can ever approach transcendence? This is also Brikshit Maharaj's question to Shukadeva Goswami. How you can understand transcendence? It's given in the Vedas, which are coming from material sound vibration and presented. So we're dealing with something material. How we can understand what's transcendental when we're only dealing with material? We only have material, mind is material, the words are material. We only have material objects to work with. How we can ever understand what's beyond the senses? So Shukadeva Goswami came to the same conclusion. And by devotional service, by bhakti yoga, then it'll be explained. So the Vedas cannot present before us a direct view of the transcendental world, Goloka. It's only when the Vedas are imbued with the chit potency that they're enabled to deal with transcendental. But Goloka reveals itself to every jiva soul when he is under the influence of the spiritual cognitive potency joined to the essence of the ecstatic energy. He said, yes, it's difficult to understand the transcendental, but Gokul can reveal itself to every jiva soul when he is under the influence of the spiritual cognizant potency joined with the essence of Haladini. So here is his secret. You've got to join the Haladini potency and the Sambit potency. Sambit is our cognizance. What is the ultimate cognizance? What is the ultimate knowledge? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devotional service to Him is the only activity, and love of Godhead is the final result. That's our cognition. When we come to have a perfect cognition of what is to be known, what is to be understood, Krishna is to be understood. I am to be understood through the Veda. His service is to be understood and executed, and the result of that service is Prayojana, yes. The love of Godhead. It manifests in love of Godhead. So, because of our cognition, the potency, and our ananda potency, or Haladini, it's not powerful enough to reach Krishna because of our minute size. Then Krishna, under the recommendation of Guru or whoever's your fairy godmother or well-wisher, or the parampara, these are all your, they hold up magic wands. So they are okay, they're looking after us, that they can bestow it. Guru, ultimately Radharani, it's her potency, she recommends Krishna. When Krishna is recommended, this person, he's a great follower of yours, he wants to enter into your path, then Krishna, he sends his Haladini potency to meet the jiva's tiny Haladini potency. And he sends his cognitive potency, unlimited cognitive, to meet the jiva's limited cognitive and potency. Then he becomes very attractive to Krishna. Why? Because he has a Ladini Shakti there. And that's what Krishna wants. He's interested. Wherever the Ladini Shakti Krishna is, there is bhakti, there I can go. So it behooves the living entities to receive this blessing of Srimati Radharani, Haladini potency, so we can understand ourselves properly and Krishna and Radharani. Same thing is also said in the Harinam Chintamani. In the Harinam Chintamani, there it says, then, this is Haridas Thakur, right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Harinam Chintamani. Haridas Thakur's. Oh, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Anyway, must be no wrong, see Haridas. Then, by the great mercy of the name, the holy name of Krishna, a mixture of the Haladini and Shambhit Shaktis from the spiritual world, combined as Bhakti Devi herself, descend on the small jiva, who possesses only a small portion of Haladini and Sanvit energy. So here, we often hear that, what is Bhakti? Who is Bhakti? Who is Bhakti Devi? It's very mysterious. But here it says, who is Bhakti Devi? It says, by the mercy of the holy name, when the mixture of Haladini and Sambit Shaktis from the spiritual combined, that is Bhakti Devi. That is Bhakti Devi. And then they descend on the jiva who possesses only a small portion of Haladini and Sambit energy. Then Bhakti Devi reveals to the jiva the ingredients of rasa in the full-blown power of the holy name. By her mercy, the pure jiva takes on his own spiritual body and enters into the experience of rasa. This is our relationship with Srimati Radharani. We have to get from her this potency. So generally we get it through guru, from the devotees. Ultimately it goes to Radharani. Ultimately it goes to Krishna, and Krishna descend, his Haladini potency and Sambit descend and join the jiva's Haladini and Sambit, cognizant potency. So then Krishna, he can enjoy it. So that's what Krishna is enjoying, the Haladini potency. Krishna's having a relationship with his mother, father, in Vatsala Ras. So who is the relationship between? It's because of the Haladini Shakti in Vatsala Ras that Krishna's enjoying. When he's enjoying a relationship with his friends, what's he actually enjoying? Because their Shakya Ras is there. Haladini Shakti, their bhakti is Shakyaras. Krishna is enjoying that Haladini potency of Shakyaras with his boyfriends. And in Krishna's conjugal pastimes, then he's enjoying that conjugal rasa, that Haladini Shakti in conjugal rasa. So Krishna, wherever there is relationship and bhakti, no matter what relationship it is, servitude or that is what is attracting Krishna. So when Krishna has a relationship with you, he's having a relationship with the Haladini Shakti. That's what's all attractive about you. When you possess it, when you're gifted it, then that's what makes you attractive. That is what Krishna's attracted to it. So Krishna is attracted to enjoy a relationship with your Haladini Shakti, which is Srimati Radharani's potency. So actually there's nothing in existence except Krishna touching Radharani, or Krishna's touching Haladini potency, which is the ultimate manifestation of Srimati Radharani. That's all that's going on in this material world, and spiritual world, everywhere. Krishna is enjoying with a lot of inipotency in different relationships. But it's nothing but Krishna enjoying with Radha. That's all that is existing. But what are we doing then? What about us? If that's all that is existing. No, but by the grace of the Parampara, the inconceivable mercy, by performing devotional service, even though it's Krishna, Krishna's attracted to the Radha potency or the Haladini potency, by performing devotional service, we can actually experience that relationship with Krishna. In rasa, that's what's happening. We're discussing in tattva, Krishna's enjoying with haladini potency. That's all that's going on. But the jiva, in rasa, then the jiva also, by the mercy of the parampara, the relationship that he's having with Krishna is a direct manifestation. It's a direct realization, simultaneously. So there, everybody's happy. Krishna's happy, he's enjoying Radha, the living entity, although philosophically he's not doing anything, if we get into the tattva. But still he's experiencing a relationship with Krishna simultaneously. Just like we're doing worship, we're worshipping the deity, and then we say, who is actually doing the worship? Because we're supposed to be assisting the guru, right? That's the consciousness. You enter the deity room, you're assisting the guru in worshipping. So the guru is doing the worship, and what are we doing? I'm doing something. But actually when we analyze it, we know we're offering to Guru, he's offering to his Guru, he gets offered up to Srimata Radharani, she offers it to Krishna, he'll accept because of the bhakti. So what are we doing? So then like that in deity worship we have that, that's the philosophical understanding, that is the tattva, that actually Guru, we say we're offering the Guru to offer it, so he's actually doing the worship, I'm not doing the worship. But the experience, because then Guru, this is tattva, Guru is doing the worship, but Guru is described as being the transparent Vaimedya. Transparent means you can't see him, or you see through him, or acting through him. He's a transparent Vaimedya. So although what we worship Guru first, we're going through worship to Guru to go to Krishna, Radha and Krishna, Guru becomes transparent. And the realization of the devotee is, I am worshipping Krishna. He is doing something. He is like offering. But his realization is, yes, it's a direct, I am directly worshipping Krishna. Krishna is there, I am here. I am directly worshipping him. It's a fact. You are directly worshipping. But when you analyze it, you come out of bhakti, you come into Shankar, then the bhakti is gone, so it's difficult to analyze. But when we're talking about it in tattva, you say, we're not doing the worship, we're offering to Guru, he is doing everything. But in rasa, when we forget the philosophical understanding, the tattva aspect of it, when we're just absorbed in serving Krishna with love, then it's actually that experience is real, that I am directly serving Krishna. And Prabhupada said, this is the mystery of the parampara. Although it's going up through the parampara, but still the realization of the devotee, I am directly serving. So it is a realization. So this is why we need the mercy of Srimata Radharani. I say unto you emphatically, without her mercy you won't know your good fortune. You won't know Krishna. Krishna is the good fortune. So somehow or another we have to achieve a little bit of that bhakti shakti. What time are we supposed to finish? 6:30, is it? 7:30. Oh, 6:30 to 7:30. Okay. Okay. Okay, time is up. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. I think Bhakti Purushottam Raj is... Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Rama.
Thank you for a very enlightening class. I just wanted to make a comment and maybe get your comment back. I was always wondering, in the prayers of Bhishma Dev in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we know that Bhishma Dev, he goes to a spiritual planet where there's constant chivalrous activities taking place, warfare and stuff like that. And he worships Krishna driving Arjuna on the chariot. So that's all presented to us in the Bhagavatam. But then in the middle of his prayers to the Lord, he starts glorifying the gopis. And I always wondered, why is that there? In other words, here's this chivalrous bhakta who's filled with chivalrous ras, and then he starts glorifying the gopis. It just seems so out of place for me. So my question is, or what I want to say is, Radharani there in the chivalrous rasas too? The fighting bloody rasas and like that? That's the only thing, the only way is that rasa taking place is because Radharani is also there.
I only heard that
Srimad Bhagavatam.
Srila Prabhupada said that Srimati Radharani looks after the devotees. Therefore she carries a club. And devotees at a club, but she's like she's the epitome of femininity and a club, she's holding a club. And Prabhupada, yes, and she uses it too. To chase away the non devotees. Well, Bhishma Dev is also known for his revealing the truth, speaking such an enlightening. So he's also not showing there's only one rasa, because generally people absorbed in Ram Rasa, that's it. Nothing is higher than that even, but Bhishma Dev, because he is giving knowledge, he's giving telling of the highest type of relationship. Sukadeva Goswami also, at the end of the 10th canto, he glorifies the gopis' relationship with Krishna. Okay, I was... is it Vishakha's birthday? Also, I thought it was something else. Okay, yeah. Okay, it's Vishakha, it's a few minutes. Vishakha Devi, it's her birthday today. She was born exactly the very same moment as Radha. And the gopis have 8 petals surrounding Radha Kund. It's like a lotus. So each 8 of the 8 major shakis they have there, kunjas on each petal. So she is on the northeastern petal. Her kunj is named Vishakha Nandata Kunja. That kunj which brings great pleasure. And in that, it's full of champaka trees in all directions, and all different fragrant flowers, colors, red, blue, green, yellow. These flowers, they give off beautiful smell. They also obstruct any other smell that comes in that kunj. So they give off beautiful scent, and they also stop any other scent coming in the kunj. The parrots and bees are all colored blue, yellow, and green. They're all singing very sweetly. The whole scene is shaded by Madhavi vines. There are different kinds of platforms, beds, canopies, and jewel-studded gazebos. Her savor is dressing and decorating Srimati Radharani. She is very gentle and good-natured and always nicely decorated. Shri Vishakha Shakhi Ki Jai. Radharani was born on the Ashtami. Here's some description here from the Radha Krishna Ganadesa Deepika. Okay, the color of her body is molten gold. It's very difficult to capture that color, because gold is its own color, it's yellowish. When you boil it, when you melt it, it becomes red, the metal becomes red. So you can't imitate that color, you can't capture it. molten gold. So it's a reddish due to being red hot. That gives off an effulgence, and the gold is yellow, so it gives off this golden yellow, reddish gold yellow effulgence. That becomes Gaudata Pandit. He took the effulgence of Srimati Radharani, and so her complexion is, she has a golden effulgence. Krishna, he is bluish, dark, like sapphire, very deep. So he has a bluish effulgence. Prabhupada said, this is the ultimate illumination, is Krishna, he's the source of everything. He said, even the sky, because everything is coming from Krishna, the sky is coming from Krishna. When we look up, we see the sky is blue, because it's coming from Krishna. He has a blue body. All the light is coming from the tail nose of Krishna, the Brahma Jyoti. Krishna's effulgence, it reflects in the material world, and because Krishna's effulgence is blue, then we have a blue sky. So Krishna has a blue effulgence, and Radharani has a golden effulgence. So when they're meeting, they come to meet, they have what is called the Jyoti Vilash, or a meeting of their effulgences. So when the gold and the blue come together, what color? You mix gold and yellow together, yellow and blue, it becomes green. So as Radha and Krishna are coming closer, first their Jyoti Vilash, they have a pastime with their effulgences. So the whole aura becomes like a green. A green aura, and their meeting is, their effulgence is having a meeting. Srimati Radharani is 15 years old and full of the luster of youth. Her eternal age is said to be 14 years, 2 months and 15 days. Jasoda Devi is the queen of the cowherds, is more affectionate to Radharani than millions of mothers can be. Radharani's father is King Vrishabhanu, okay. He's as splendid as the sun. Srimati Radharani's mother is? Kirtita Devi. Is also known in this world as Ratnagarbha Devi, the jewel born from her navel, Radharani. Radharani's paternal grandfather. Okay. Mahibano. There's more grandmas and grandpas here. Radharani's elder brother is? Sridham. Her younger sister is? Anangamanjari. Who is Radharani's mother-in-law? And who is her so-called husband? Kutila Devi. Who is always eager to find faults from Radharani's, her sister-in-law. There's Imbashana. Imbashana on Radharani's birthplace, on the hill there. There's a little, beautiful temple, Radha and Krishna and everything there. They got a little temple on the side, little. And there's some deities, three deities there. And they got kind of a cloth and it's all shabby and they got crowns and it's, crowns are like that. And all shabby and I just, my godbrother Padmalochan, I said, well, who's these deities? That's Jatila, that's Cook. That's Abhimanyu. That's they decorate the deities from Radha and Krishna, all beautiful. When it comes to, they just kind of destroy everything on and cloth is with the garlands are off. Of course, we can't comprehend. I was laughing like anything, but we can't understand how the Brajabashis, we cannot really comprehend their mood of attraction. Oh, she has many, many friends and Manjari friends. Some of them you may know because they're our line, in our line. Ananga Manjari. Rupa Manjari, Rupa Goswami, Rati Manjari, Raghunathas, Labanga Manjari, Sanatana, Orag Manjari, Rasha Manjari, Prema Manjari. Oh, so many. Srimati Radharani's worshipful deity is the sun god. Who is that sun god? Krishna. Krishna dresses up as the priest of the sun god and performs, so she worships the priest. Also the sun god. Srimati Radharani's Maha Mantra is the name of? Srimati Radharani's Maha Mantra is the name of Krishna. Yes. Srimati Radharani's benefactor who brings all good fortune is Purnamasi. So many servants. Everybody gets a chance, even the sweepers, those who act as sweepers, they also serve Radharani. In specific, like Tungi Devi and Molly Devi and Matali Devi are the leaders of those girls descended from the uncivilized tribe, mountain tribe, known as the Pulindas. So these are the aborigines, Adivasis. Krishna. In Vrindavan, some of these Pulinda girls act as friends of Srimati Radharani and some as the friends of Krishna. They're the girls, they see the red dust on the Krishna's feet and they pick it up and they put it, they get satisfaction. But they will get a chance. Krishna's, those who come to massage Radharani, say like that, that's considered not very suchi occupation. But they're daughters of the, maybe the daughters of the barber. Sometimes the barbers give massage also. A barber is also not a very good occupation. It's very, it's kind of, caste is kind of low down, but we see in Goloka, all these castes, they, you know, they're daughters of the barbers, the low caste seal called seal, is a low class kind of, they categorize as barbers and things like that, and people who massage. But still they get their daughters from that caste, they get allowed to massage Radharani. You know. Gopis also do it. Radharani has a pet swan that swims around Amrata Kund. What's the name? Tundi Keri. She has a pet elephant also. Name? Madhuri. And she has two pet parrots. Huh? Shukansari, commonly known as Shukansari. Shukshmadi and Shubha. Srimati Radharani's tilak is named. Huh? Smarayantra. Smarayantra. Even a tilak is personified. It's described as being a red spot. Then eight chandan spots around it. Then one kasturi, which is blackish, underneath. That's one of her tilaks. It's called yantra. Smara yantra. Remembering, I guess. She has a jeweled necklace, which is named Harimohana. And her jeweled earrings are named Rochana, and the pearl decorating her nose is named Prabhakari. Prabhakari. Her locket, which consists of a picture of Krishna, is named Madana. The Shyam Chakra jewel is also known as, where did it come from? Shankachuda Shiromani, because it became from the Shankachuda. He had it, the demon. Radharani's ankle bells, which stun Lord Krishna with their tinkling sound, are named Ratna Gopura. Radharani's garments are named Meghambara. Megha means cloud. Krishna is the color of cloud, new cloud, rain cloud. So her dress is like that. Her upper garment is colored red, and lower garment is blue. This is her favorite color is blue. So she wears a blue dress because she sees it all the time. And it reminds her of Krishna because Krishna's blue. So she so that's her favorite. But Krishna likes to see her in red. So she wears a red orna, a red dupatta because Krishna likes that. Radharani's private lake bears her own name, Sri Radha Kunda. Her favorite ragas are the Malara, Dhanasri, and her favorite dances are Chalikya and Rudra Valaki. Srimati Radharani's glorious birth appeared on the 8th day of the bright moon in the month of Bhadra. Although generally not full on that day, the moon appeared to celebrate Radharani's appearance in this world. Srimati Radharani ki. Okay. I'll finish here. There's a little bit of nectar. In the Narada Purana, Krishna says, O Narada, I solemnly declare to you again and again and again that without the mercy of Sri Radha, my mercy does not arise. From the Bhavashyotara Purana, Sri Krishna says, O Narada, if you have strong faith in Prem Bhakti, and if you desire to please me and obtain my mercy, then you please become a loving devotee of Sri Radha. Sri Purnamasi said to Nandamukhi, the love between Radha and Madhava is a festival of endless bliss. Its equal does not exist in either the spiritual worlds or the material worlds. It appears instantly and is never disturbed by anything. Due to so much grief from fear of their elders, they have to devise various clever means for meeting together, and a very special flavor of ever-increasing rasa has arisen. In the Rig Veda, it is said, among all people, Radhika and Madhava together are most beautiful. Sri Sri Radha Madhava ki jai. Sri Radhastami ki jai. Nitai go premanandi. Hare Krishna. Thank you.